even just knowing how to navigate, there wasn't even a single place where people could get information. And so early on, our goal was to create a single point of intake and get agencies that have a part in the process to buy into the portal so that we could have a true one-stop shop.
You're listening to the Octopod. This is your Tech Connect in the nation's capital. Join us as we feature government innovators and groundbreakers making change in and around DC. Let's tech it out.
Welcome to the Octopod. I'm Mike.
I'm Michelle.
I'm Elsie.
Today, we're excited to have the new director of the Department of Licensing and Consumer Protection, Tiffany Crow, joining us. Mayor Muriel Bowser tapped Director Crow to lead the agency in November 2023, and she was unanimously confirmed by the D.C. Council. Prior to the appointment, her longstanding positions within D.C. government include the Department of Consumer and Regulatory Affairs Chief Administrative Officer and the Department of Employment Services Special Projects Manager. An Indiana native, but now a longtime D.C. resident, Director Crow recently served as an Associate Chief Technology Officer here at Octo, where she led efforts to support the district's critical enterprise applications. Welcome to the Octopod, Director Tiffany Crow.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that introduction.
You're welcome.
Well, and this is actually the second coming of the Octopod. This is the first one we've done since May 2022, so you should feel honored to be our first honorary guest.
I do.
First of many, hopefully.
Thank you. Thank you.
These are obviously exciting times for DLCP. Among many things that you've accomplished already, the agencies in partnership with us celebrated the first anniversary of the business licensing portal, which is just getting started. Share a little bit about what problems that portal's meant to solve and what you hope to solve going forward.
Yes, so this is a project that is very close to my heart. It was one of my favorites when I was at Octo very recently. And even when I was at Octo, the main goal of the portal was to keep customers from having to go to so many places to get a business license. We heard that across customer bases, no matter whether they were a new business trying to get started or an experienced business owner, just having to go to so many different websites, different agencies to really get...
Remember all those passwords?
Yes. And even just knowing how to navigate, there wasn't even a single place where people could get information. And so early on, our goal was to create a single point of intake and get agencies that have a part in the process to buy into the portal so that we could have a true one-stop shop. And so that has been a process. And, you know, we started with it being information only. At least you had a place you could go and get all of the information at once, which even that was a grand improvement. As much as we would have liked to have done more, even in that first launch, just having a place where you could, like, see the checklist and follow your progress was a big improvement.
A big win. So what's next on the horizon for the portal?
Oh, there's so much on the horizon. So one of the things that we did even early on was get a few agencies to do integrations with us. So the Office of Tax and Revenue, it used to be ABRA, but now it's ABCA. So the Alcoholic Beverage and Cannabis Administration, we have integrations with them as well as DDOT. And so what we're doing next is building on that. So there's an integration with DC Health for your food businesses, as well as we plan to put our basic business licenses.
I was about to do a drum roll. Hold on. Oh, okay. I'll let you finish.
Okay.
Keep going.
Okay.
Keep going.
No. This deserves a drum roll. The next two things. Basic business licenses. And that is about 80% of the licenses that we issue for basic business ownership. And then the occupational professional licenses. I think we don't, in general, the public doesn't talk as much about the occupational and professional licenses, but most people, like if you're an engineer or an architect, a real estate agent,
hairdresser,
you work in a salon, you need to have one of those licenses in addition to your basic business license. So we are putting our occupational and professional licenses in.
Exciting.
And, you know, the foundation that I built with the team and with Octo when I was here has really just helped us kind of expedite that work at DLCP.
Awesome.
I know you've been in your position only for a few months, But what are some ways you're looking to bring in new technologies or processes to improve how DLCP serves the district?
So I think one of the things that happens when there's a change in administration or a change in leadership is everybody wants to be like, okay, we're going to change everything, or we're going to bring in this new technology. And so I knew that we'd had a lot of years at DCRA and the Department of Buildings and DLCP of like new technology, new applications, new this, new that, which was exciting. People like that kind of thing, but we also needed to focus on the infrastructure of the agency. And so the beauty of this partnership with Octo, with the business portal, is that we have this great new thing that's meant to solve a lot of the underlying infrastructure issues, while we can also focus on those legacy systems that have to carry us until that's done. So it's less, my first several months have been less about new things and more about looking at what's existing and making improvements. And, you know, every day we discover something unfortunate. I mean, I have to say, like with legacy technology, that's just the way it is. Like when certain applications and systems get to be a certain age, you're always going to find things that need to be improved. But we've set up the infrastructure to address those, right? And we've tried to build transparency with our customers to say, hey, this is going to happen. There'll be days when like the old system is a little bit wonky, or you get a message you're not expecting. And then we address it really quickly, explain why it happened, and then point to the future. So that has been sort of the first level of focus, but we're also building new tools to help business owners get additional information. So that's in the business portal. We're also working on some interactive maps. We're working to make sure that when you come to our agency or any agency really in the district, you're able to get the information that you really need in a way that's easy and transparent.
Awesome. Director Crow, you've accomplished so much, and even the agency as a whole. If we were to speak to you 12 months from now, what are some accomplishments that you would have hoped to have achieved?
Oh, wow. That's such a great question. And thank you for saying that. I know, I think for me, when you say that I've accomplished so much, I think so much about what we have to do. And so the thing that keeps me going and reminds me that we have done things is the staff, like the team that I work with. So like when they're like, oh, I'm so proud we did X, Y, and Z, that is like a reminder to myself to not push so hard. Like you all have worked with me. And so that's just the nature of sort of my work style, is like a pushing type. And so one of the things that we've accomplished is like built a culture of people who are excited about the work we're doing.
It's so important. You got to love what you do.
Yes.
To our public servants, you know?
Exactly, and understand why we're there. And that's not to say we're perfect, but they all kind of are like behind the mission of sort of this one government approach to service. So one thing we're trying to make sure everybody understands is that if you get me or you get LC on the phone, very rarely should we be like, oh, that's not us, that's DDOT. You're going to have to hang up. You're going to have to call DDOT. They're going to do X, Y, and Z. And so we've been actually doing trainings with our team. Like our basic business license team and the customer service team just went through an entire training with the Office of Tax and Revenue, showing them how to sign people up for My Tax DC, showing them how to get people to like get their own clean hands compliance certificate. And so I would say what we've accomplished so far is establishing sort of like a common culture and a common set of goals and objectives. And then 12 months from now, almost all of our licenses should be in the business portal. We'll have rolled out a series of tools that help prospective and existing business owners identify maybe the best location for their business, identify how to scale their business, identify grants. And by working with our sister agencies like Octo, DSLBD, DSBE, create sort of a wraparound approach, because we are one of the only agencies that every business in the district has to touch. No matter what kind of business you're going to start, you have to come to the Department of Licensing and Consumer Protection. And so making sure that we remind ourselves of that, hold ourselves accountable to that, and are just doing the work to support that.
Awesome. So I think, obviously, D.C. celebrates African-American contributions, not only during Black History Month, but around the calendar year. What DLCP innovations or what partnerships are you trying to help to move the needle forward on Black-owned businesses in D.C.?
So my husband is an assistant principal, right? But his master's degree is in special education. And so one of the things that he says is a lot of the things that we put in place for a specific population of people, a rising tide lifts all boats, right? And so as we think about African-American businesses, Black businesses, thinking about sort of historic barriers that have kept those businesses from really entering certain markets, from really being able to scale, from being able to get financing, from being able to get staffing, we plan to specifically address those issues by partnering with agencies that can help that. And also recognizing that acknowledging sort of these systemic issues, addressing them, will ultimately improve things for the entire landscape of business owners in the district. And so that is part of our mission, not just, you know, during Black History Month, but all of the time. We also strive to highlight businesses that have been in the community, businesses that, for whatever reason, have been able to survive, like, difficult times or just getting started or employ a lot of people in the community. And so by understanding how we can make it easier for those businesses, right? Because we don't want it to be like businesses thrive in D.C. in spite of us. They thrive in D.C. because of the work that we're doing. And so, you know, I just keep that in mind by saying that, okay, if it is hard for Black businesses to stay in D.C., why is that? And how, at the outset, can we address those issues?
That's awesome. Now to switch from a semi-serious topic to something a little more fun, we want to play a game with you called My Favorite Tech.
Okay.
All right. So we want to learn a little bit more, want to geek out a little bit with you. The first one is, when you're at home, what is your go-to tech that you use the most?
Okay. So when I'm at home, my family, so I love work. I'm working on some hobbies, but I think about work. I know it's
that's for another episode.
I know,
that's the crocheting podcast.
Please, like, someone show me how to crochet. It might actually help me. But, like, you know, thinking about different ways to do work is kind of part of my interest. And so when I get home, one of the things I committed to when I took this job was less tech. Was sort of like disconnecting during certain hours of the day.
Just to give you time to think, or?
To give me time to, like, spend time with my kids and talk
that
to
too,
my,
that too, yeah.
Like, talk to my husband. And I realized, like, their habits had kind of morphed into what I would do. So, you know, my husband, when I met him, he hated Instagram. He still doesn't do Facebook, none of that. Couldn't find his phone half the time. And now when I look around in the evenings, like, because I'm working, like, everybody's on their devices. So we've kind of instituted some, like, low-tech sort of home-based time. But when I am at home, my daughter really loves PlayStation. And so the only game that I am good at is Street Fighter. So my favorite.
Not surprising.
PlayStation allows me to, like, do something with my daughter Emery. So I really like that.
All right, well, now you're at home, you're chilling, you're playing Uno, you're playing Street Fighter. But what do you need at work?
Oh, okay. So, you know, I was never a big LinkedIn person, because I was kind of like, oh, it's, you know, a little bit dated and slow. But now I find that it is a great place to connect me to the business community and figure out what my sister agencies are doing. We have tried to, like, develop formal sort of means of communication with one another, but you can't keep up with the speed of everything that's getting pushed out of all the agencies. And so I really use that to keep up with what's happening across agencies. And so it's sort of boring tech. It's not the most fun tech. I also use, like, you know, I really like the app that shows you what kind of plants certain things are.
There you
really
go.
Like that technology.
Recreational.
Also, like, you know, the level on my phone. I like functional technology, okay, which I think is actually pretty, it's probably on brand, right? Things that kind of make everyday life easier. But I think one thing that I will start to do, since you've asked this question, is think about fun tech, right? Because people have to want to use the tools that you're creating.
Absolutely.
You're not going to be walking around those new Apple goggles, are you?
No. No, I said fun. I did not say ridiculous.
But actually, we do have something fun coming out.
When is that?
I'm excited about it. It deals with certificates of occupancy and vacancies. I won't like share too much here, but I think it'll be a really exciting tool. I thought the demo of it was very fun. But I want to like turn the question back on you guys. Like, give me some fun tech, like, so that I can make my little list and know what things I should be checking out. Am I allowed to do that in this podcast?
Sure. Yeah. I'm thinking the wheels are turning.
Michelle only uses blenders. She is a vegetarian foodie. She's got 7 different types of blenders depending upon the seed and or plant that she's mixing.
He is absolutely right. And I just got the most amazing juicer.
Okay.
It's like a car. It's like a car.
I don't know.
So
what's it called?
Is it the new?
I probably get the ad in Instagram. That's
but it, but it's like a car. I mean, literally, it's got a motor in it. So.
Oh, your skin is glowing.
I love it.
Well, thank you. You know, I'm going to have to do it. What about you?
All I can think of is the last app I downloaded was Lingo Kids.
Oh.
Where is that?
It's a kids subscription that's $75 a year. But it makes learning very interactive and fun based on age.
Cool.
So that's fun. Hygiene, all kinds of things. So that's my latest.
Well, since we're all still in our 20s, I'm going to flip it back. What is it? You can't see our faces. This is radio or whatever this is called. But what's a piece of retro technology that you either still use or wish you could get back from growing up?
Retro technology.
You want me to start first?
And then I'll go.
Oh, yeah, please. Like, you go. I have one.
The thing I missed the most was having to wait on the radio to record the songs that you wanted to on the tapes. It took forever, but it was like a fun mission, right? And you could just make mixtapes after mixtape. Though I don't think people do that as much on Spotify or whatever. You're not sending a girl a link to your Spotify. You know what I mean? But it was so much fun.
But aren't you? It's a playlist. I could see it's the new age mixtape.
You know, I think you guys are going to have to like go back. I'm going to answer the question about favorite tech again, because music. Like, I listen to music as often as I can. You know, when I wake up in the morning, when I'm in my car, when I'm cleaning the house. And so any, like, you know, Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music, I like subscribe to all of them. And so it's funny that you say like tapes for recording. I was going to say the Discman, because, you know, you could still skip ahead. I didn't do much recording, but I had like thousands of CDs. And I don't know where they are now, which is like a little, I don't know what happened to them, but I had thousands of CDs.
I had thousands of tapes, and I just had to like literally get a trash bag and just dump
them. Well, now it's like $20 a month. You can listen to whatever you want.
I know.
Amazing.
I think about that though sometimes. So I do subscribe to Apple Music, and I have like the family plan and force everybody to like use the family Apple Music. But I am like, okay, do I need to download these? What happens if I cancel Apple Music?
Right.
Then do I lose? It creates a little bit of, I'm like, do I lose all of my music?
You're trapped, director. You're trapped.
Yeah. No, and I'm famous for like sending playlists to people. I'm like, oh, you're stressed? Here's my like relaxation playlist. Oh, you need to get motivated? Here's the like get up and go playlist.
Right.
Anyway, but I love that. I love music. And so I take my Discman back and all my CDs. So if you're Goodwill somewhere, and you
we'll look out for you.
We'll
look out for you.
Look for the penny bin.
No.
So that wraps up what we have. Is there anything else you want to share with them? We try to keep these relatively short, but anything else big you want to share for the folks that are listening? We are, by the way, we're not sponsored by Apple Music, Spotify. But anyway, is there anything you'd like to add to wrap up?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, as agencies, myself, you guys work to do implementation of things. I think one thing that I'm learning in this job is, you know, you try to be as precise and perfect and have things go the way you want. But there is a level of fear that holds people back from like doing something.
Taking a chance.
Taking a chance, or like just sort of like force of habit. And so I think sort of the trust that you build with other agencies and with your teams allows that not to be the case. And so, you know, as we move forward, I would say that's kind of the message. You know, we're going to try some things that are going to work really well. We're going to try some things that people don't care for or don't use as much, but we're capturing all that data so that as we go along, we can continually make improvements and figure out where the biggest impact is going to be. And so just, you know, we're happy to have the audience and you guys along with us for that. So,
well, thanks for coming and being part of our big comeback with the podcast. And if people want to follow your journey and find news about DLCP, where's the best place for them to go?
So Instagram at DC_DLCP. And then we're also on X at DC_DLCP, on LinkedIn at the Department of Licensing and Consumer Protection.
Awesome. Cool.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for having us. I'm Mike.
I'm Michelle.
I'm LC.
And thanks for being here on the Octopod.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Octopod, your tech connect in the nation's capital. What tech questions and topics are on your mind? Leave your comments by following us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at OctoDC, or use the hashtag Octopod, OctoPod. Until next time, always tech it out.